You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And at Sporting News, I analyze the first round picks here of the 2019 NFL Draft. Thursday night, we finally had all the picks come to fruition, 1 through 32. A lot of change-ups on the board. Teams that were picking only one time, picked multiple times, and some teams that were picking two times picked a third time. So all kinds of good stuff there to break down, enough surprises, some good fantasy implications there from what we saw in the draft. So let's dive right into it. We're looking at the instant reaction here to round one, of the draft week. And we'll come back, as we said earlier, in the week with more of a rankings look perspective on where these guys fall in terms of the skill position players that we would rank in fantasy football once we know all the picks here through Saturday evening and get those picks in to kind of understand the depth charts and haul of all these teams and how they're looking at fantasy football and who has a chance to have some impact. But for now, we'll look at who's been taken and what they can do for teams and how they fit in the landscape of fantasy football and how they affect other players on their team. So let's dive right into it. We have number one pick was Kyler Murray, as expected, to the Cardinals. Still looking to move Josh Rosen there. But Kyler Murray is going to be the guy that's going to be given this job. He'll have to be competing for it here a little bit for Cliff Kingsbury. But they've been attached long for him. He's their man. He's got Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, David Johnson. So not a bad baseline of supporting cast. His offensive line still needs to get better, and I think Arizona will focus on that next in this draft. So Murray, again, dynamic enough where he's got the running ability. We saw that with Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's going to be Baker Mayfield and creep into that back-end QB1 conversation just because he came out of Oklahoma, but maybe more of what Lamar Jackson gave at some point in the season, running around, producing in that sense. Finding ways to get in the end zone, making some big plays with his arm. So Kyler Murray is going to be probably more volatile than Baker Mayfield, who settled into a pretty solid quarterback down the stretch there. So you might get a few big good games and flashes from Murray, but he's definitely going to help this Cardinals offense overall. I think he's going to be great for David Johnson, another guy that can move around back there. I think we'll have to see Larry Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk, because remember Christian Kirk had a pretty good chemistry with Josh Rosen to a degree. So maybe Larry Fitzgerald is the veteran, connects with Murray here as a security blanket, and we'll see if they incorporate the tight end a little bit more. But I would say Kyler Murray, looking at this, improves the Cardinals skill position players all around in terms of Murray himself with the value. We'll have to see there. The 49ers with the second pick took Nick Bosa, as expected, the defensive end out of Ohio State. Now you look at this 49ers front with Dee Ford, who they picked up from the Chiefs, and looking at the way this all broke down here, they have a pretty good front four, so they could have some effect in fantasy football as a sack unit. They have a pretty good secondary, we know, led by Richard Sherman. So these guys up front are really going to help, especially Ford and Bosa coming there, as Buckner and Thomas are two pretty good players as well. So defensively, the 49ers are doing it well. They got to focus a little bit more on getting some offensive help, I think, starting with day two of this draft. The third pick was the Jets and Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama. They were tied to a defensive tackle here late in the process, either Williams or Ed Oliver. You look at this defense, has had some potential there with Greg Williams. You know, Greg Williams' defenses in the past, whether it's been in Tennessee or Buffalo or New Orleans or even Cleveland, have had some upside as a fantasy football unit. So looking at that, Quinnen Williams going to that group with Leonard Williams up front. They still need to work at linebacker and secondary a little bit more. I'm going to pump the brakes there. But Quinnen Williams could be a big factor, defensive line, getting double-digit sacks at some point in this Jets defense that's kind of tailored to his quickness and being able to get upfield and disrupt plays in the backfield. Our number four pick there in the first round was Cleland Farrell, the defensive end of Clemson. It was a bit of a surprise the Raiders went here. I think they were pretty much going to go with defensive line or edge rush help. They kind of go with both here, and Cleland Farrell is a pretty good pass rusher, very productive at Clemson, a very good run stopper as well. So, again, the Raiders have a long way to go before they can get up to being a solid fantasy defense, but it's a good building block here, and Farrell's a guy that on this particular line with not much there has a chance to be the guy and rack up some sacks there. But I think at first he's just going to be a solid baseline player, really helps them all around, and solidifies a little bit more of their run defense, which has been an issue for Oakland. The next pick was Devin White, the linebacker from LSU. This was also pretty projected there. We talked about it in the mock draft a lot in the last couple ones, that Devin White was on a beeline to Tampa Bay. Well, it did come to fruition in the draft. They didn't waste much time. Think of Darrell Washington. I know he had some trouble off the field for Arizona, but he was in the same position in Todd Bowles' defense. Carlos Dansby also had some success in this defense as an inside linebacker. And Devin White checks all those boxes because he can cover a lot of ground, tackle well against the run, get upfield and get to the quarterback at times, but also drop into coverage and make plays. So Devin White going to the Bucs, he's going to have some good IDP value going there right away, considering that he's stepping into the void of Quan Alexander, who moved on to the 49ers. So White, perfect landing spot for him in this new scheme, 3-4. They need an anchor linebacker, and the Bucs get it for Bowles. And now we got to talk a lot about the number six pick here, Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke, going to the Giants. Now, this kind of caught everyone off guard because the Giants seemed to have cooled off on Jones a little bit. They were kind of looking at him possibly in the second round if he dropped behind Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke. But Locke doesn't end up going in this round at all. Jones goes at number six. So it looks like they're pretty locked into Jones. They like the pedigree, having David Cutcliffe on the side, same guy that helped Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. Same kind of makeup for Daniel Jones. Not a very mobile guy, a little bit more mobile than Eli, but kind of that tough hang in the pocket, throw downfield type of passer, pro style, a lot of good coaching already coming into the NFL. So they feel like Eli Manning can be a good bridge quarterback, hand it over to Jones. They have a good transition there. So they went after it. You have to give them credit. They knew what they wanted their quarterback. It may have been head-scratching for others for them to go with Jones over Haskins or reach for Jones here at six when you had guys like Josh Allen and Ed Oliver, which were more sure things for the defense, but they go for the volatile pick here. At quarterback, Jones has a good makeup. All that is there for him, so I'm not going to totally write it off, but you look at it, I don't think you're going to get any returns from Jones in the short term. I think Eli Manning is going to be the guy for one more year. Jones needs a little bit more coaching. No better than Eli to extend that with the David Cutcliffe teaching. So Jones kind of gets a built-in continuation of what he learned at Duke with Eli, because that's an encyclopedia there as well. So it was a good landing spot for Jones. You look overall, you have Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate and Evan Ingram, so some weapons there. I think the Giants still have to go after a wide receiver to help them there, but that is a definitely something to watch for Jones. I just don't think his value for fantasy at least is going to be in 2019, but you never say never. Watch the situation. Maybe Eli kind of fades and they give Jones a shot, especially if the Giants struggle with wins, losses under Pat Shurmur. The number seven pick, which is Josh Allen. I think he could have some IDP value here as well for the Jaguars. Now, they have a strong side void there. They've had it for a little bit. Need to find some to kind of complement what Telvin Smith and Miles Jack do. So right now with Yannick and Ngakoue and Calais Campbell holding down the defensive ends, that seems like Allen's better position, especially considering he's a very good cover man. That's going to help on the strong side, the Sam spot covering tight ends. So we've seen this position in the past in defenses. It can be a hybrid role where he can rush the passer in certain downs, but also drop back in coverage and handle himself. So think of him as a much better version of Bruce Irvin that the Seahawks drafted initially for their defense. So I think kind of coming in, Josh Allen is like Bruce Irvin, but a lot more explosive as a pass rusher and a lot with better smooth skills as a cover man. And at number eight, as we finish the first quarter analysis of the first round, TJ Hawkinson, the tight end from Iowa, going to the Lions. Now, Lions, we had tied to offensive linemen and defensive linemen, but I really like this pick because you look at their makeup right now, it's pretty much Marvin Jones on the outside with Kenny Golladay. They didn't bring back Golden Tate, who they traded to the Eagles there. He moved on to the Giants. They didn't re-sign him. So Hawkinson has a chance to be the third target on his team. And Lions haven't gone first round with a tight end since Eric Ebron. So they go back down the line here. But the difference between Hawkinson is he's an inline guy. They can play in. He's going to be a vital part of their run blocking for Kerryon Johnson. That means he's going to see more down action and be that security blanket there for Matthew Stafford as they kind of change up their offense a little bit. So when you look at that, Hawkinson is going to be heavily involved and could be a very busy target. They've tried guys before like Michael Roberts and Luke Wilson and Levine Tolala. Well, this cleans up all that mess because he's a guy that blocks, can slide out, and catch passes for you as well. So great pick in Hawkinson, and we're going to keep Hawkinson on the radar because there's a big transition at tight end with Rob Gronkowski retiring, Jimmy Graham fading. The position is in flux. So George Kittle and Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz are the guys working at the top, but it's a little bit wide open after that. And Hawkinson usually takes 2 years for a tight end to settle in and produce like we want in fantasy football, but I think Hawkinson could jump that curve a little bit by being so talented and really a Kittle clone if you look at him carefully there in Detroit. Well, it's exciting that we're talking about these players out of college being hired into the NFL through the NFL draft. In the real world, hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring in the real world can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So that's great news, and there's better news for you as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's LOCKEDON. All lowercase, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Check them out, and we thank them for sponsoring our Draft Reaction podcast. We'll be right back here to start breaking down the next wave of picks in the first round of the 2019 NFL Draft. All right, let's pick up here at number nine. We're in the second quarter, if you think about it, in our draft or real draft here analysis. We have number nine with the Bills, Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston. I like this pick a lot. I had them mocked to Oliver a long time ago, but I didn't think he was going to get there. But now he gets there again. They need some help there. Kyle Williams retired. Star Lutule was very disappointing there as a free agent pickup. So Ed Oliver, very explosive player, has a little bit of a KK Short in him. As you remember, Sean McDermott was the Panthers defensive coordinator. So a disruptor, can play inside, outside, get to the quarterback, can even play a little bit of linebacker if you want. So he's that athletic of a freak. So Ed Oliver, good spot for the Bills. Again, a defense we're not necessarily targeting in fantasy, but we really like that pick overall, as the Bills just let the draft come to them, didn't force the issue on another position, and took the best player available, and you always appreciate that. Now, the Steelers, we talked about Devin White going to the Bucs and being a great fit. Well, Devin Bush is a great fit for the Steelers, and you know they traded up 10 spots to get him, so they're going to put him to work. I think they clearly see him as the next Ryan Shazier, flying all over the field, making a lot of plays. You know, the tackles are going to be there in that 150 range. He's going to get to the quarterback a few times. Going to have some interceptions there, make some plays on the ball and coverage. So Devin Bush and Devin White, not much separates them. Maybe the size a little bit, but they both land in ideal 3-4 schemes here. And Devin Bush, again, we're going to watch him and Devin White on IDP pretty closely here because two IDP studs just enter the league here immediately, and they're going to be at the top of the list a lot because these are all two teams that need some cleaning up there on the second level as well. So I think Whitenbush, early candidates, as I wrote on SportingNews.com, for defensive rookies of the year. I think that's how active they're going to be in their particular defenses. At number 11, you have the Cincinnati Bengals taking Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama. I like this move a lot. Some people thought they could take Dwayne Haskins, and I was one of them. Maybe think about that, but instead they address their current situation. They're okay with Andy Dalton. Get Jonah Williams to start at right tackle over the terrible Bobby Hart. So you actually have some legitimate tackles there in the Cordy Glenn and Jonah Williams. This is a great move for Joe Mixon in the running game. He's an anchor there against the run. He's a pretty good, powerful pass protector as well. So that's going to help Andy Dalton on the edge get the ball downfield to A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd. So great, solid pick by the Bengals here at number 11, going to help their team now, which is always good for fantasy football. At number 12, we have the Green Bay Packers going with Rashawn Gary, the defensive end of Michigan. They'll work him into their front. They've got a lot of guys up there, if you think about it, and Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, and they just added Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, an outside linebacker. So a lot of bodies there. So I can't see Gary being very productive. He's going to be a sub-package player. Has to live up to his talent where the production wasn't there at Michigan, and that's going to be a concern. Christian Wilkins could be an absolute stud for the Dolphins. They took him at number 13, the second Clemson defensive lineman to go. He's a versatile lineman. He's the kind of that Brian Flores liked when he was with New England, so makes sense that Wilkins goes to Miami with him to be the anchor of his front. They did lose Cameron Wake, William Hayes, some other players up front. So this is a good rebound there for the Dolphins, a good building block for that defensive line there as they try to become more relevant defensively. Now, the Falcons, at number 14, a little bit of reach to some. They took Chris Lindstrom, the guard from Boston College, but very athletic guard. If you look at their scheme, they're sticking with the zone blocking. Some people thought they might check off of that this year, but they really like that scheme as they go back old school to what they had with Mike Mularkey and Dirk Cutter. So Lindstrom can get downfield, block in the running game. They needed to really upgrade. They did get James Carpenter and Jamon Brown at guard, but they were just really desperate to upgrade at those positions and also need to get right tackle, which we'll talk about later. But Lindstrom is a solid pick here. He's not going to be spectacular on the board, but this is very good news for Devontae Freeman, who now takes a clear lead role with Ito Smith as the new number two, with Tevin Coleman signing with the 49ers. The number 15 pick, and we'll take a little time on this one, Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State. The Redskins, there was a lot of talk about Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen moving up to go get Dwayne Haskins. Well, they didn't have to do that at all. He was sitting there because the Giants passed on him at number 6, and the Broncos traded out of that number 10 spot with the Steelers. So that pretty much was clear sailing because the Dolphins weren't locked into taking a quarterback in this draft. So Haskins was a no-brainer here. They got Alex Smith recovering. Colt McCoy's also been banged up. They signed or traded for Case Keenum and then had him as the stopgap option. But Dwayne Haskins, there's a chance that he can beat all these guys and start right away. Smith may not even be available. Keenum, we know what his struggles were in Denver, and he's quickly replaced by Joe Flacco. So Dwayne Haskins, the question there with his value, first of all, is Case Keenum going to start over him? I would say right now that's a possibility, and Colt McCoy might also be in the mix next. And then the supporting cast. I mean, you have Josh Doctson and Jordan Reed, not the most trusting supporting cast, especially with no more Jamison Crowder. So when you look at this overall, Haskins, we're going to wait and see and not get too excited on his fantasy football value, much like Daniel Jones because of the veteran presence ahead of him and a team in flux with the supporting cast there as well, also in the NFC East. At number 16, you go to the Panthers and Brian Burns, the defensive end of Florida State. Now, this guy had 10 sacks last year for the Seminoles, 15 and a half tackles for loss. He's just a natural pass rusher, great fit for the Panthers. They had Julius Peppers retired. They've been looking for a guy that's explosive for a while in the end since Peppers left. Brian Burns is the guy that can really fill that void, and they're going to love him in the hybrid scheme of Ron Rivera, but he's going to get plenty of chances to rush the passer and be productive there for the Panthers. At number 17, you have the Giants take Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle from Clemson. So they needed some help there up front. Lawrence probably going to start at one of the ends there with Dalvin Tomlinson at nose tackle still. I think he can disrupt things and get to the quarterback, but good building block. I don't see too much more there in terms of the impact that we're looking at in fantasy football. Now, the Vikings pick at number 18, Garrett Bradbury, the center from NC State. This guarantees they're going to move Pat Elflein to guard because Bradbury is the natural center while Elflein is the natural guard. So you really upgrade two positions because Bradbury is a rock in the middle. Elflein slides over to guard. Really helps Dalvin Cook in the running game. Those two moves there to block and a pretty good interior pass protection as well for Kirk Cousins. And we know the Vikings really struggled up front last year. So Bradbury, solidifies the middle. He can start there for 10 years. Elflein is a pretty good long-term starter, young guy as well. So Vikings starting to get it up front, and things are working out better here for Rick Spielman to kind of maximize what he has with Cousins and Cook. Number 19, you can just forget about this. Jeffrey Simmons coming off a torn ACL, a little bit of a risky pick there with some off-field issues and some on-field issues and not living up to his potential. So you're not going to get much, if anything, out of Simmons playing for the Titans and for fantasy football purposes. Just something that we can overlook, and we thought they could be looking at a wide receiver or tight end here, but so the Titans table it and go for a 2020 option, which is very strange with some of the values that were on the board. At number 20, you had Noah Fant, the tight end out of Iowa, and this was a great pick for the Broncos. This is going to be Joe Flacco's key target here. They already have Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, so I think Fant, young target that goes right in there with those second-year players. You have Jeff Heuerman and Jake Butt, but they just can't stay healthy and can't be counted on, especially as this team transitions to a new coaching staff. So Noah Fant, good offline tight end, move tight end, if you will. So he's got some upside. And we know that Joe Flacco, if you look at guys like Dennis Pitta, he does have a good affinity with tight ends, Crockett Gilmore as well. They've just had so many tight ends shuffle through Baltimore, and that's been hard to have one connection there. But I could see Flacco really being attracted to Fant because he's an athletic guy that can stretch the field at that position and get down the seam. Now, as a reminder, this is just one of our great podcasts on the Locked On NFL Network, Locked On NFL Draft. Great stuff there. Check out their reaction. We have our Draft Dudes podcast, our Team by Team podcast as well. So make sure you're diving into all that great content this weekend, reacting to the events of the 2019 NFL Draft. And if that's not enough for you, if the NBA playoffs are in full swing, you got to check out those shows. They're Locked On NBA and all the Team by Team there, as well as MLB season hitting that critical month of May. We've got our MLB podcast to check out as well. So this is a prime time for the network here as we close out April, get into May, and check out all our shows. You won't be disappointed. Whatever sport, whatever aspect of that sport you like, we've got you covered here on the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to break down the final 12 picks of the first round of the 2019 NFL Draft. All right, we've got a little longer show today just because we have more picks to get into, and we're packing it all in one show to get you that reaction complete here coming out of the first round. We got the Packers at number 21, Darnell Savage, the safety of Maryland. Very good athlete. Can plug and play, do some things in that defense. But they got Adrian Amos there. So interchangeable player with Adrian Amos. So it kind of hurts Amos a little bit. But I think Savage is going to be more of a rotational player, maybe a nickel package player as well. Kind of a little bit of LaMarcus Joyner in him. So I think Adrian Amos is still the safety you're looking at that can produce best for the Packers here in 2019, but having Savage there behind him really helps and could get significant playing time next to him as well, and kind of interchangeable safeties there for Mike Patton. The next pick is the Eagles. They took Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle for Washington State, so preparing for life without Jason Peters here. So good pick. The Eagles move in to get this pick, make a trade with the Ravens. So Dillard, good pickup. I thought he was the best pure pass protector in this draft, so Eagles had to love that. Good athlete up front to put in front of Carson Wentz and better protect him going forward as Peters fades away with his career. Number 23, the Texans did not get denied of their offensive tackle love. It wasn't Juwan Taylor, however. It was Titus Howard, the offensive tackle from Alabama State. little guy that really came on strong out of a small school, really stood out. So when a small school player goes this high, you know, he dominated with his athleticism, and that definitely was the case here with Titus Howard. Really shot up the boards late. They really like him as a complete offensive lineman. It's good that the Texans did not ignore that after Deshaun Watson sacked 62 times last year. So Deshaun Watson likes his picks, and the running backs like this pick for now. They probably won't get a new running back here in the draft, but Titus Howard, solid for the Texans, addressing a major need. Now, 24 is Josh Jacobs going to the Raiders, as expected. We had this pick right there. And John Gruden wanted the workhorse. It was confirmed when Marshawn Lynch decided he's going to retire. Doug Martin not resigned. They really needed a starting back, and Jacobs is the only guy at three down that you could trust early in this draft. He's going to be a John Gruden type of player, get the whole burden, catch passes, a block for his quarterback. So Josh Jacobs automatically steps in a great spot. Potential RB2, we'll start with that as a baseline. Potential RB1, I think, given the role, and there's no one there except for Jalen Richard as your change of pace back in Oakland. Number 25, we stay with the defensive players. Marquise Brown there for the Ravens. And they needed a field stretcher, a little guy that can kind of fit Lamar Jackson flicking the ball downfield, playing off his running ability, power running game with Mark Ingram, and then being able to stretch the field with a fast guy. Marquise Brown is a home run hitter there. So it's a good pick up for the Ravens. It's a sign that they're just not going to set back and be this running, boring team. They want to have Lamar Jackson move around, throw the ball downfield a little bit. That's a good sign for Lamar Jackson's value as well. So Marquise Brown, Hollywood, I really like it. Antonio Brown now has a rooting interest as it's his cousin playing against his former team that he now does not like, the Steelers, twice every season. But the Ravens aren't going to get the most of Brown, and he'll have a chance to start right away after they didn't keep John Brown or Michael Crabtree. Just have Willie Steen in the slot. So Marquise Brown has a good chance to have a big role for the Ravens here immediately, in a good spot for him. The Washington Redskins at number 26 take Montez Sweat. They trade back in for a second pick, and this is great for the Redskins. They need a pass rusher. They saw that Sweat was falling. He's perfect fit for the 3-4 as outside linebacker playing opposite Ryan Kerrigan. So Sweat could really be productive here as a situational pass rusher playing off Kerrigan, because it's a good thing when you have an established pass rusher that people have to respect, and opens things up for the other side for a young guy. And he'll get plenty of chances here. No issues with the heart condition that was reported from the combine. He's good to go. Some teams were scared away, not Washington. Good for them. Great day for the Redskins getting Haskins and Sweat. Two guys that I thought could easily be top 10 picks in this draft at 15 and number 26. So you can't complain about that if you're a Redskins fan. Number 27, the Raiders, we thought they could go with Byron Murphy, the corner of Washington, but they go with Jonathan Abrams, safety, Mississippi State. Clear sign that they're not sold on Carl Joseph from the previous regime, a guy that they took in the first round. They thought he was going to be the cleanup man at strong safety. Instead, Abrams is going to be much better at doing that. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's solid, an extra linebacker type. Good pick by John Gruden and Mike Mayock, and they still could get Byron Murphy there early in the second round, and that's probably what they were looking at, that this was their only chance to get Abram here, and they took full advantage of that here at number 27. Number 28, the Chargers got Jerry Tillery. That's going to add to their production up front with Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Tillery is a very good, big pass rusher from the interior. That's what he's better at, actually, than stopping the run, so an upgrade that sense from Darius Filon. So he should see plenty of snaps right away in the rotation, and have to be productive and raise the Chargers' playmaking quotient. They're already a DST1 in fantasy in my mind, and this confirms it, to add Tillery into the mix there. The Seahawks trade away Frank Clark. They pick up L.J. Collier, their type of defensive end, so pretty much a direct replacement for Frank Clark, who's a replacement for Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, so their type of defensive end, thick, uses power, can stay on the field, slide inside, and rush the passer on third downs as well. So L.J. Collier, some people say better than reach, but the Seahawks kind of march to the beat of their own drum, go with guys that they like, even though their value might be a little further down, just because they know they won't get a crack at these type of players later. So they're very scheme-specific with their needs, and the Seahawks get Collier, who I thought was more of a second or third round pick. But again, Seahawks kept moving down. It didn't really matter to them at this point as they stockpiled picks. Our next pick is the Giants. Speaking of stockpiling, the Giants get back in here, get DeAndre Baker, make a trade with the Seahawks, the cornerback from Georgia. This was actually the one Giants pick I was okay with here because of the value here. I mean, they caught a falling star. I love when teams do that, realize this guy should have been taken. And some would question, why did they take Greedy Williams of LSU, Byron Murphy over DeAndre Baker? But that's besides the point. They need a starter at corner after dismissing Eli Apple opposite Janoris Jenkins. Baker has that kind of lean body type to play off Jenkins. So the best pick of the Giants by far at number 30 really dwarfs what they did at number 6 and 17. I think they just reached a little bit there on both picks and could have had some better values there at both spots. And Baker, I think, is their best value, and I think he could end up being their best pick in this draft and a solid potential starter immediately from day one. Now, we mentioned the Falcons and Chris Lindstrom, but they also got Kalen McGarry, the offensive tackle of Washington. He's going to start right tackle, folks, because Ryan Schrader, they moved on from him. He was a good player for a while, but you had Jake Matthews, left tackle, Alex Mack at center, but now you have Lindstrom starting on one of the guards, McGarry. So they'll have Carpenter and Brown probably fight for the other spot there at guard. So they really were committed to the offensive line. That was a priority here, keeping Matt Ryan upright, helping Devonta Freeman, getting some more mobile guys there, move around, pull and block for these guys. And both Lindstrom and McGarry fit that bill. So you like when a team knows what it wants, knows its scheme, and goes after it pretty hard here. And the Falcons did that twice in the first round. Now they'll probably focus on defensive help the rest of the way, starting with a defensive end and pass rush, mainly for Atlanta. It seems like a perpetual need there, but good pivot for the Falcons to get some good value there on the offensive line at when two immediate starters that are going to be key contributors in helping Ryan and Freeman in their fantasy football production pursuits in 2019. And finally, number 32, and we might be excited about this pick for fantasy football more than the rest when it's all said and done. N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver of Arizona State, going to Tom Brady and the Patriots. And while we love this pick, when the Patriots use a first-rounder on an offensive skill player, they're going to find a way to use him. You saw that with Sonny Michel last year. They need a big target that can create some mismatches, stretch the field, work in the red zone. N'Keal Harry is that. And I had him as a first-rounder early in the process. I was surprised why teams pivoted off him, but you watch his tape. He was unstoppable at times for the Sun Devils. So it's clear that they're not sure about Josh Gordon here. They know that they need to find a replacement for Gronk, but they might be okay with Matt LaCrosse and Austin Savarian Jenkins, the veterans there, if they feature Harry a little bit more. And you have Julian Edelman and Harry, and they lost Chris Hogan. So there's some targets to be picked up there without Hogan and Gronkowski. Philip Dorsett had his moments last year, but we know Harry has a good shot here with the Gordon situation to really see a ton of targets opposite Edelman, especially with LaCrosse and Savarian Jenkins being more of a flyers there at tight end. So landing with Tom Brady, you know what the key is now, connecting with Tom Brady, working hard to have a connection with him. But we're thrilled that the Patriots took a wide receiver here. We're going to be excited about his value in fantasy football no matter who he was. But Harry makes a lot of sense because he can do a lot of things that they need to replace what Hogan and Gronkowski could do in this offense, and a good complement to Edelman. So a lot of excitement there with his pick, and we'll see where he ends up when we look at the rookie rankings among wide receivers versus him and Marquise Brown being the guys taken in the first round. But good spots for both Brown and Harry with the playoff teams from last year in the AFC. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the first round of the 2019 NFL Draft here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll come back there with a special Saturday show looking at the second and third round picks there and what happened, and go through those a little bit more in rapid fire form than the first round. We had to devote a little bit more time and energy to the first round because it is the key, the cornerstones of some teams. We had three quarterbacks taken, two wide receivers, only one running back, and two tight ends. So the skill position, I think, is going to be a lot more prevalent here in rounds two and three as a lot of wide receivers fell. A lot of running backs will get on the board here as well. Just a couple more tight ends there to watch. So good stuff there from the first round of the 2019 NFL Draft. Hope you enjoyed this breakdown, and Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football, and we'll see you tomorrow with the breakdown of rounds 2 and 3 and the instant reaction there.